broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstick. Thunderstick. Yeah,
and
yeah,
welcome
yeah,
to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. The coldest team in town with great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. So if you, a family member or friend, needs more information, you can go to their website, GogginCold.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, John Glennon will be joining us. He's with The Athletic. Chance to talk some Titans and more. But right now, going back to the hotline, our good friend Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Alan, hope you had a wonderful weekend. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Hey, appreciate you having me, buddy. Thank you so much.
You know, I got into this. I saw Colin Cowherd post and got into this conversation. And as soon as I saw it, it kind of reminded me of what the Titans went through last offseason with Marcus Mariota. Ryan Tannehill joins the Titans. Because it was one of these things where you start looking at Baker Mayfield and what has he done, or better yet, not done, as far as being the quote-unquote franchise quarterback for the Browns, and looking at the new addition with Case Keenum, and you can certainly see where, you know, look, the Browns were supposed to have been that team in 2019. They got, you know, they were picked one of the five teams out there to make a nice run for the Super Bowl, all this hype. And immediately out of the gates, they laid an egg against the Titans. So I bring it up because could Baker Mayfield become the Marcus Mariota of 2020?
I mean, it's possible. Let me say this. I mean, you know, when you bring in a new head coach that did not draft Baker Mayfield, I mean, the coach has no obligation to Baker Mayfield. His obligation is to win. And to be honest with you, fans want to win, especially that franchise and that fan base, right? So they don't care how you do it. So if it's, you know, if it's Baker Mayfield, if it's Case Keenum, they just want to win. So, I mean, Baker Mayfield knows what the game is after last year's disaster of a season. And quite frankly, how much money they put into this roster and how good that defense is, he has to show up. So I'm with you. I mean, there's certainly a chance and an opportunity that that could happen because, you know, as we say, I mean, the new coaching staff does not owe anything to Baker Mayfield. Baker has to prove it to them, not the other way around.
I mean, it would be one thing if you see somebody working hard and trying to make a difference week in and week out, but when you, the bottom line is, it's all about perception and whether it's right or wrong, but I guarantee you the perception of some of the fans of the Browns are thinking the team is not winning and all we're seeing is Baker Mayfield doing all these commercials.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, look back last year, right, at the Marcus Mariota situation. Marcus Mariota didn't do anything that Baker Mayfield had been doing in terms of commercials, in terms of, you know, yelling at other players, you know, on the field. I mean, just, you know, acting like that. Marcus Mariota was the absolute epitome of everything that you would want out of a leader. And even he couldn't keep the job, right? Like, it's all about what you're going to do. So if Baker Mayfield is not bringing it on the field, I mean, that experiment could go south very quickly because, again, you know, as a new head coach, you know, he understands that time is quick in the NFL and you don't have a whole lot of it. The Browns just got done firing a coach after one season, right? Like, they're not putting up with anything. So he's not going to care one way or the other about Baker Mayfield's feelings, about what he thinks. It's win or move on. And you know, Baker's going to have to know that, and I think that he does. And it's not all on him. You know, there's a locker room that needs to be fixed, per se. But when you're the quarterback, you know, sorry, man. Like, you get all the praise when good things happen. You're going to catch it negatively on the other side as well.
I mean, it'd be different if we're talking about getting drafted where Russell Wilson was drafted and making third-round money. Well, that's not the case with Baker Mayfield. And it's one of these things, he will be paid well if he's successful. There's no doubt about it. And he's already being paid well because of where he was drafted. And this, you know, look, I don't blame fans. If you're a fan of the Browns and you're thinking, if that time that was being used to make the commercials and all of that was used to maybe look at opponents, look at more film, look at the, if it was done in the off season, look at, you know, what those particular teams did in the prior year. It's not fair. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, life's not fair. And if you're drafted and you're the franchise quarterback, then you better win, or, you know, there's always somebody there willing to take your job.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why the NFL succeeds, because there is someone always there, you know, willing to take that job. And, you know, Baker Mayfield, here's the thing about him, is that, you know, he's out of excuses. There's no excuse anymore. You've been given Odell Beckham. You've been given Jarvis Landry. You've been given Nick Chubb. You've been given Myles Garrett. You've been given so many players. Like, this team, if you look at the Browns roster, it is stacked with talent and young talent everywhere, with guys that can win. But he's going to have to put this thing together. And let me say this. I know that, you know, people hate on Tom Brady. And people hate, you know, in terms of, you know, what he's done, you know, possibly. I don't know. But Tom Brady puts the work in. These guys that win NFL games, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, keep going down the list. Like, these guys are relentless workers, like quarterbacks that just do nothing but work and learn and earn. Like, that's what they do. That's why these guys win. And Baker Mayfield, I'm not saying that he's not putting in the effort or putting in the work, but, I mean, there's a reason why people succeed, and he's going to have to do this because he's been given every single opportunity to do it. They're really going to have to put up this year. They absolutely have to, because I'm with you. If they don't, and especially if they come out of the gate early and just look horrid on offense, yank him.
Is Case Keenum good enough to lead the Browns to a Super Bowl?
Case Keenum is good enough not to turn the ball over, I'll tell you that.
See, and, good point. The stats don't lie after all these years. The stats don't lie about that.
Yeah, I mean, Case Keenum, you know, Case Keenum can be a guy like what Ryan Tannehill did last year. And I'm not going to say that, you know, he's going to have that great of a year, you know, if he does play. But let me say this. Ryan Tannehill understood, you know, the game of football with the talent that he had around him, how to work with receivers, how to use the run game, how to use the offensive line. Like, Case Keenum is veteran enough that he knows that he can, you know, kind of leverage himself throughout the entire team and the talent that's on there, you know, to win. Is it good enough? That's the AFC North's going to be pretty tough. Pittsburgh's going to be good again, too, on top of Baltimore. But again, man, I mean, you know, Case Keenum's won before this week.
There's two players as far as from a franchise tag standpoint. First of all, Dak Prescott has yet to sign his with the Cowboys. And, you know, with the fact that Andy Dalton is there, I wonder if there's incentive there for the Cowboys to rush ahead and sign Dak Prescott to an extended contract. And then the other one, of course, we keep wondering about Derrick Henry. Will he get a long-term contract before the, you know, July 15th date comes up?
Yeah, I mean, two good questions. I mean, first on Derrick Henry, I think that he will. You know, just based on this team and the way that the offense is built, I don't think that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are going to go crazy in terms of a number, but I don't think Derrick Henry is going to push them for every single penny possible. I think that they'll find a good kind of symbiotic balance in the middle. As for Dak Prescott, I mean, this situation has shown, you know, the Cowboys want him to sign a 5-year deal. Dak wants to sign a 4-year deal. Makes sense for the quarterback. Get yourself sooner, you know, to that, you know, next contract. If he's going to sign a 5th year, he's made it clear that he wants a very hefty price, you know, in terms to do that and, you know, kind of a good faith type thing. But the Cowboys have shown that they are not, they're just not going to, you know, fully extend themselves beyond what they want to do. So I don't know, you know, when they're going to get this thing done, because, you know, what it comes down to is there's a line drawn in the sand right now, and one of those sides, either Jerry Jones or Dak Prescott, is going to have to go over that line, and I don't know which one is going to do it.
Well, you think about the impact it could have inside that locker room. You know, for me, I think with that, the Titans, to me, would be the team most affected, because there, I'm sure there's feelings inside that locker room that because of Derrick Henry, you start seeing other individuals getting paid. I don't necessarily believe that the Cowboys locker room would have that same feeling about Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating looking at it from that aspect, right? Like, you know, if they don't pay Derrick Henry, you know, you look at, you know, players that, you know, I think what, Adoree Jackson is going to get paid more, you know, in terms of his fifth-year deal, you know, next year. I mean, I think Derrick Henry is such a large catalyst of this team, and he really is the workhorse leader. And, you know, it's a bad precedent, you know, internally when guys that are kind of your homegrown stars, you know, don't get the money that they feel that they deserve and other players, quite frankly, feel that they deserve. It sets a bad precedent. It gets inside your locker room. It gets inside free agency. Players know this stuff. They don't want to sign with you. So it's a fascinating, you know, aspect on both sides of it. You know, the Cowboys are interesting because you've already paid Zeke a big amount of money. You just paid Amari Cooper a big amount of money. They're talking about wanting to trade for Jamal Adams, even though I don't think that they're going to get that thing done. But it just goes to show that a lot of other people are getting money. Why isn't Dak Prescott getting his money? That locker room aspect, I don't know 100% on each team, but I find it fascinating because that's really where NFL teams, you know, succeed or fail is how your locker room, you know, comes together as a team or not.
Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline joining. By the way, the whole Jamal Adams thing, what is wrong with the Jets? I know we brought – this is just, to me, another version, chapter 385 of what's wrong with the Jets. Is there something going on behind the scenes that we are unaware of?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because it's been fascinating with him specifically, Jamal Adams, you know, for the last 2 years. And, you know, we look at, you know, the team, you know, supposedly – you know, not wanting to pay him, the team signing Le'Veon Bell, and then Adam Gase doesn't want Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I don't know what's going on, you know, internally in that organization, but it doesn't seem great, you know what I mean? Because, again, I mean, Jamal Adams has become every single thing that you would want, you know, out of a player, and I don't know, man, it's tough, but that's another thing that, you know, can kill rosters, can kill a locker room, you know, when there's no morale. And the guys who really are your leaders on the field, when they turn negative against the team, other players turn negative. It's like any other company, any other office. When your star person that everyone loves turns negative on the boss, well, a lot of the other employees start to turn negative on the boss. It's not good. I'm not going to say it's a mess just yet, but it's been a mess with Jamal Adams the last 2 years.
By the way, you know, last week we get the news as far as the NFL wanting to maybe make a change as far as with the onside kick, and basically a team would have two opportunities a game if they want to pull this off, where they would have a 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line if this gets approved. Now, they can't keep on doing it if they're down by, you know, 6 touchdowns and they get lucky and score 1 and score 2. They can only do it twice, so it's not an ongoing thing. I like the proposal, honestly. And there's a couple things in play here. They're trying to, because they understand the health risk with onside kicks, they've already made changes previously with onside kicks, and now they see this as yet another opportunity to serve two purposes: make the game a little bit more exciting, at the same time continue to decrease the risk as far as the players getting hurt.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, usually on something that's kind of so different, you know, to the normal, you know, set of rules for football, everyone would kind of be up in arms, but no one really is. And you know, I like the idea. It's creative. It seems fun. And you're right. I mean, it's all about safety. Onside kick, you know, for a long time, you know, has been just a very dangerous type play. And to be honest with you, I think that this is also a big step in the NFL eventually eliminating kickoffs as a whole. You know, this is kind of the first start of that. Not that they're going to do that anytime soon, but I would not be surprised if 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you know, when we're looking at the next, you know, collective bargaining agreement type time, you know, frame, that we're talking about eliminating the kickoff as a whole. So the NFL owners are voting tomorrow on that. So we should know tomorrow if this thing is going to be, you know, in the rule books for 2020.
If I had my wish, I wish there was a football czar with a committee and to try to get everybody, high school, college, NFL, all on the same page with certain things, whether it's onside kick, overtimes. Like, you know, to me, I think college football has a better idea of what overtime should look like. But I don't necessarily totally agree with it. And this is where maybe down the road where the NFL, college football, they get together, adapt more of what college football is doing. But look, I've never liked the idea that you're already in scoring position in college football in overtime. You're got the ball first and 10 at the 25. Let's make it where you have to make at least one first down. Make it first and 10 from the 40, for example. But I've never liked the idea in college football that you're already in scoring position. And I would love to see that variation be adopted as far as in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of surprised that the NFL hasn't done more, you know, with their overtime. I mean, I totally get, you know, the way that they have it now in terms of wanting to keep it real football. I certainly understand that. But, you know, the college model does produce more excitement. It produces more scoring. And I like your idea as well, you know, of having to, you know, get yourself, you know, in the red zone, you know, before just having the ball set there. You know, put it at the 40, put it at the 50. You know what I mean? Like, I would certainly be all right with that. And then two, you know, what you talk about in terms of like a football czar, you know, kind of just aligning, you know, really the high school level to college to the NFL. If the NFL passes this new onside kick rule, I would imagine that this thing is going to get adopted pretty quickly, at least at the college level. I don't know about high school, but again, I don't know how many, you know, onside kicks are really happening. You know, at the high school level, you know, you might have some at the very top echelon schools. You know, this is such a game changer in terms of the style of play that I would be surprised if college doesn't pick it up, you know, in the next 2-3 years.
I know you and, of course, Sportsline covers a lot of different things. And, you know, one of the things that right now we're trying to find ways to get everybody back up and running as far as these sports leagues, you know, especially from a professional standpoint. You know, if I'm the NFL, if I'm college football, I'm watching and realizing nobody is on the same page. Even in college football, nobody's on the same page. And to me, that is still a major concern of mine, that everybody is looking at this from, you know, the facts are still the same that people are trying to get information from. But the target just keeps moving. And there's nothing to me that shows any signs of similarities at all.
No, there's not, you know, and that's the hard part is that, you know, this thing is kind of broken down by state, right? So you've got 50 different states that have 50 different ideas, 50 different states that have different situations. You know, New York is not the same as Tennessee, is not the same as California, is not the same as Texas. So it's really, really difficult, and it's going to be hard, you know, to kind of put this thing all together collectively, which, let's also be honest, you know, these decisions are not going to be made by the front office. They're going to be made by the legal office. You're going to be looking at, you know, companies and leagues and teams that are looking out for, you know, lawsuits, you know, down the road, you know, on top of safety, on top of health. I mean, this is such a layered situation that it's going to be really hard. And college football is going to have the most difficult road because these are, you know, not professionals. They're not paid. They are students. They are kids. It's going to be really, really tough. And these are schools that are tied to governments, right? So, I mean, you know, you have one bad situation at, say, Tennessee. Well, that's the state of Tennessee school. And, you know, the state could end up being sued. I mean, there's so many layers to this thing. And we're just getting into the start of it. I mean, this thing could last, you know, for a while. So, I don't know the answer. And like you said, I don't think anyone does right now.
Well, you're already seeing things being thrown out there that this could be really pushing, say, for example, in college football, which is the feeder to the NFL. You could see where the Power Five conferences, along with Notre Dame, they decide, you know, heck with the NCAA. We don't care about the FCS teams and those programs. We don't care about the Group of Five. We're just going to do our own thing. And to me, if that happens, you wonder the direct effect and impact it would have on those other college programs. We know how much football, I mean, look, the numbers are out there. I think college football, if not played in the 2021 school year, you're talking about a loss of $4 billion that's not coming back. And so it's not like you're going to be able to, it's not like you're going to be able to make it up down the road per se. But if you think about the haves and the have-nots, and you see that happen, you know, you wonder how that will impact college football as far as with the rest of those programs.
You know, you bring up an interesting point in terms of, you know, say the SEC plays and the Pac-12 doesn't play. You know, we'll just use that as an example. You know, the SEC is already, you know, far ahead in terms of revenue driven, you know, recruiting. I mean, everything like that. What would happen? You're right. I mean, what would happen if, you know, UCLA doesn't have a football program this year, but Alabama does? You know what I mean? What Tennessee does, USC doesn't. I mean, you know, you've got programs that are going to just take a monster leap ahead. What happens to existing players? You know, at say USC, that say if USC doesn't have a season, well, their starting quarterback, what is he going to do? Does he have to just sit out? Can he transfer? Can he go somewhere else? I mean, there are so many, you know, issues that arise, you know, across the board with this, that if they're not all on the same page, which it doesn't sound that they are, I mean, you could have just all kinds of upheaval on every, you know, single tree, you know, branch on the tree. It could be crazy.
And if it gets delayed, say the season gets delayed until January, February, then some of these programs are going to be seeing some of their student athletes decide, well, I've got an NFL career ahead of me. I know I'm going to be drafted high, first, second round, per se. Why do I want to risk it, you know, playing college football this close to a NFL season in 21, for example?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody that's a first-round pick considered already, you would have to at least think about it. You know, if you're Trevor Lawrence, right, and the season's going to be shortened and, you know, you might not have all the leagues, you might not have, you know, a college football playoff. It might just be your own conference that you play against. You know, why would you come back? You know, what are you going to earn? People will look at that and say, well, I don't know if this is really a title in 2020 anyway. It's kind of a weird season. Why would you come back for that? You're already going to be there. You're already the number one pick right now. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's the decision to make, that that's right. I'm just saying that you would think about it. Like, you'd be crazy not to judge and you know, counter both sides. It could be madness, man. I mean, I think that we're going in the right direction with everything, and I think it's going to be all right. But again, you know, we're operating in 10-minute time frames. I mean, Johnny, you know this. 30 minutes from now, there could be an outbreak, you know, in a state, and it shuts all this down, right? I mean, we have no idea what's going to even happen tomorrow, much less in August.
I mean, 2.5 hours ago, we were expecting a space launch that gets postponed.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
You're right. Things are constantly changing. Hey, by the way, before we let you go, tell everybody again what they can expect when they go to sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. The NHL, you know, laid out their playoff plan for this year. We've already simulated that 10,000 times based on all the teams and injuries and players that are coming back. NBA as well. So if you're a fan of either those teams, sports, leagues, go check that out. We're also, you know, continuing to break down NFL teams with our betting guides and profiles. So go to sportsline.com, click the news feature at the top, and that part is free. Don't have to be a subscriber at all. Come check it out.
Alan, thank you as always. Have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll talk soon.
You too, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Open segment coming up. If you'd like to weigh in, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. This segment brought to you by the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter not only of the SEC, but also the Atlanta Braves. Don't forget, one of our sponsors for our Saturday-Sunday extra inning best of Atlanta Braves games that are heard each and every Saturday and Sunday beginning at noon. The Klein Preston Law Group. 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Plus, their practice focuses primarily on business law, which includes business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. If you need more information on how they could possibly help you, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Good afternoon. They're working an accident right now on Harding Place at Metroplex. 65 southbound at Trinity Lane there in East Nashville on a crash. Traffic's really busy now. 24 trying to get up past Jefferson Street on that accident. Going westbound 24 as you come up past the football stadium. Again, it got quite busy out here. We're dodging some rain showers as well. Hey, it's time to have some summer fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Akoi River. Log on to adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. You can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Braves Radio Network is right there with you. We miss baseball. So we're bringing you Braves replays every weekend at noon Central. It's Braves Extra Innings. We're re-airing games from the 2019 season every weekend until baseball returns.
This one is hammered. A rocket high into the heavens and deep to left field and gone.
Catch the Atlanta Braves Extra Innings on Nashville's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Nashville Sports Radio. Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you, Zach Williams in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. You know, one of those last questions, Zach, I asked Alan Bell was about the fact that, you know, right now there's discussions going on behind the scenes. Do I see it happening this week, next month? Even sometime this year, no. But you see the push in recent years where, especially with things happening with the NCAA, where the Power Five conferences, because they do have power, there's a reason why they're called the Power Five conferences, throwing in Notre Dame as well. You could see where, with self-preservation important, where they could break away, do their own thing, and look, it's along those lines of just being able to survive as far as with regards to their athletic programs. And you could see where obviously how that would impact the FCS teams, how that would impact the group of five as well. I don't know what we see today as far as what these athletic programs look like before that happens and comparing it to what that would be like life after if they broke away. Knowing the importance of college football and how it drives the train with these athletic programs across the country, I don't know how many would still be fielding football teams.
Well, you know, they did it to themselves, right? They, you know, you go through the money that was being spent all across the land of not just football, but just all these other sports, these out-of-conference teams that they're playing, things like that, and out-of-conference games of volleyball matches, baseball, all across the board. And you see the amount of money that's spent back then. Coaches, the amount that coaches are getting paid, they set themselves up for something like this to happen, to where, you know, teams are and programs are going to have to get rid of different sports as a whole. And so, you know, you kind of, they're a bit of the SEC and like you said, the Power Five conferences, kind of they're like the creators of their own doom, which they're going to have to be the saviors of their own doom as well, because it would be smart for them to do that from their side. If they don't care about the integrity of the history of the game, they just care about their conferences, then yeah, it would be smart for them to put themselves on an island and be self-sufficient within there. But it would be dramatic to so many teams. But you'll see, I don't want to take this as my own perception, because Watson Brown said this on Plaster's show a few days ago, and I thought that was probably one of the better points and insights you can get, though. But you know, the way they were spending money, it's just it was insanity. And now the reality's kind of hit, and you see all these smaller programs not able to make money. You're relying too much off football. You're gonna have to see them change in how they're spending money. And you know, it's unfortunate, but programs are going to start going away, or at least you're not going to be hearing about them. They might still be playing, but they're not going to be doing the same kind of business as usual as you would have seen these last 10 years.
You know, a lot different price tag when I was in college compared to what it is today, but that student fee, you know, and it's significant for some of these universities, and that money helps drive and keep some of these athletic programs alive. I mean, we're seeing it every week. Where, I mean, Appalachian State, I think, dropped three or four programs earlier this week. But you're seeing it similar kind of things across the country already. You know, there's been, Florida Tech dropped football 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you just wonder if it gets to the point, because we don't know what the next few months look like as far as the 2021 calendar year, as far as sports calendar year. What that means as far as college athletics, if I had to make a wager right now across the board, West Coast, East Coast, I don't think it looks the same as far as different parts of the country. And I'm most concerned by one of the conferences that can ill afford to be impacted, and that would be the Pac-12. They're already behind the eight ball. I mean, remember, the only team that they had in the college football playoff, you have to go all the way back to 2014 when Oregon was part of that. So they're already behind, and there's so many factors when we look at why the Pac-12 is behind compared to the other Power 5 conferences. But if they get impacted and they can't start on time with the other leagues, certainly you're going to want them if you're the other four conferences in the Power 5, just because of the teams we're talking about with their history and tradition. But is there any loyalty for these Power 5 conferences with regards to the Group of Five or FCS teams? Absolutely not.
Well, and you know, we're talking about the current typical, right? Which, if you weren't around for the 4 o'clock hour, the new normal. But
we don't want to use the term new normal anymore.
Yeah, it's too boring. But you know, if we're talking about that too, and this goes for businesses all across America, and even the show. Universities might have to start making the call, especially these lower universities, and I can already hear the argument saying, well, college is an experience. Well, yeah, it is, and I agree. But, you know, a lot of businesses and a lot of schools are realizing, hey, we don't need to have these gigantic buildings and all this money tied up into actual brick and mortar businesses and brick and mortar schools, because we're doing our jobs at home and doing everything all the same for the most part. And then also for schools, you're seeing all these Zoom calls, things like that. That's kind of evolving, and that could take a lot of pressure off student fees for what you're having to see for students going to school to kind of keep some of these athletic departments around. And putting a little less pressure on the university as a whole, you know, people are going to have to figure that out and see that maybe there is a benefit to, yeah, we could still do. I mean, it would be strange, don't get me wrong, saying that this college is completely online and, you know, we were a college that had a campus, but now we're not. It's all off campus and everything. And those have already been kind of growing the past years, but now it's becoming such a boom that, you know, that could be a way that some of these colleges keep their programs around, is, you know, maybe go completely off online and abandon your classic schooling as a whole is campuses or kids on campuses. And then you can keep your programs around. I mean, that could be a thought there. They're going to have to find inventful ways to realize to save money elsewhere rather than relying on, you know, Alabama coming into town to play Chattanooga or something of that effect.
Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with John Glennon. He's with The Athletic here in Nashville. We'll talk Titans and more with him. Reminder, too, don't forget, designated drivers, the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. Don't get behind the wheel. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good afternoon. We're still dodging some pretty good rain showers out here in certain parts. Harding Place at Metroplex, that wreck is in its clearing stages, along with that wreck at 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. Still moving on I-40 here, coming past the airport, continuing out through Mount Juliet into Wilson County. It's time to have some summer fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Acoli River. Log on to adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102, 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, showers likely, cloudy, with a high near 75. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy, with a low around 66. And tomorrow, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, and a chance right now to go back to the hotline. John Glennon with The Athletic here in Nashville. You can also find his work at theathletic.com/Nashville. John, hope you had a wonderful weekend as far as Memorial Day, and welcome back to the show.
I did indeed, Johnny. Thank you for the welcome. Appreciate it.
All right, so, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, this would have been a big deal with the news today that the Titans have reached an agreement with two of their six players chosen in this year's NFL draft. You know, certainly it's like great. It's a nice little release, but it's not as complicated as it used to be.
No, not at all. You know, and I think, honestly, for fans anyway, you know, I think that's one of the real benefits of the new CBA that came into effect years ago. And that is that, you know, the draft picks are now slotted. We know generally pretty close to exactly what they're going to make. In the days before the current CBA, you know, anything went basically. And so there were questions every off season, you know, especially the top picks, you know, when would they be signed? How much would they make? And if they made so much, well, how does that impact the next guy? These days, all the draft picks go into certain slots. We know what they're going to make. So it's not a shock when these guys are signed. Generally now, everybody's in on time. Maybe there's a few guys that are signed a couple of days late, but not nearly the drama. I'm sure the players, the draft picks, don't like things as much because they're not making nearly as much money now when they come out of college as they used to. But for fans, it's you know, one less thing to worry about.
Have a chance once again to visit with John Glennon. So let's see, since we last had a chance to visit, Joe Flacco ends up signing with the New York Jets. When we think about backup quarterback possibilities, although he's not going to be ready, according to Joe, he's not going to be ready by week one, but we don't know if week one is going to be ready for week one either. The more and more we, you know, go through these next few weeks, the more I don't know if the Titans are going to be doing anything with that position. Do you?
Yeah, you know, I still, you know, as we get closer to training camp and you know, teams whittle rosters a little bit, you know, I still would not be surprised to see a name with a little bit more experience maybe get bumped and end up in the Titans mix. You know, now we're looking at, you know, as you said, Flacco got signed and the famed Mike Glennon, I believe, signed recently as well.
He's your brother, right? Richard, his brother, cousin, or something?
Long lost cousin. Yeah, he is from Virginia, actually. You know, I think, you know, Blake Bortles and Trevor Siemian, you know, are probably two of the more prominent names that are still out there right now. I still have to believe, you know, as much as people like Logan Ryan, and I know they do in the organization, I still think there's going to be another name added at some point. I did think it was kind of interesting, too, though, you know, everybody's watching Twitter these days, and, you know, A.J. Brown had a nice retweet of a tweet that was very complimentary towards Logan Woodside, the number two guy currently. And A.J. Brown basically gave him a thumbs up, said, yeah, you know, more or less, we feel like he's ready, you know, to take over that role. So, you know, no need. A.J. Brown certainly didn't have to do that, but A.J. Brown must like what he's seeing as well and what he's seen. So a lot of people like old Logan Woodside.
Well, if that's what if that's what you have on your roster, I mean, you need to be a good teammate. At the same time, everybody understands it's a business, and so we don't know what we're going to get. I threw this out earlier and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. You know, we look at the Dak Prescott situation. He still has not signed his tender as far as the franchise tag, and you have until July 15th to do that. The Cowboys protect themselves. They've got Andy Dalton, and, you know, if I have Andy Dalton and there's Dak Prescott, you know, I don't know how motivated the Cowboys would be at this point to sign an extension, as far as extended contract for Dak Prescott, if they don't feel those numbers match up. I was looking at what that locker room would look like, and, you know, I don't know how much backlash there would be in the Cowboys locker room if Prescott only has the one-year deal. And I try to compare it to what the Tennessee Titans would face if in that locker room Derrick Henry is only playing with the one-year deal. And I think it would be entirely two different scenarios.
Certainly possible. I guess, yeah. If you're talking about chemistry of the players and what they're thinking.
Yeah, along the lines, because you think that, because I'm sure there's players, and look, there's people in the media, there's fans who feel like Derrick Henry, because of what he did, got Ryan Tannehill paid.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, when you think identity of the Titans too, I think it's certainly still, no matter the numbers that Ryan Tannehill put up last year, I think it's still overwhelmingly Derrick Henry. You know, this is one of the most run heavy offenses in the NFL, and Derrick Henry was the man who, and I've said this before, you know, I think he broke the will of defenses a lot. Late in games, he was that guy who could do that. You know, there's probably not a better 4-minute offense in the NFL than the Titans last year with Derrick Henry. So, I really think, yeah, that might go south for the Titans if they can't work out some kind of a bigger deal. You know, Derrick Henry has signed that tender, of course, which means there's not going to be any holdout or anything like that. He'll be in. But I just can't imagine, you know, when the other players are looking around the locker room and you're saying, hey, here's our guy, here's our man that you know, along with Tannehill, really made this team last year, and the Titans aren't really willing to commit more than, a franchise tag to him. I have to think that's going to make some people there.
I mean, we just got through seeing The Last Dance, that 10-part episodes, as far as looking at Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and especially what they were able to do in the 90s, and almost to a man. I mean, Michael Jordan even said, he says, you know, most of us may, and maybe Scottie Pippen would be the only one that would be, you know, it would be a tough sell, but, you know, almost to a man, all of them would have agreed to come back on a 1-year deal. And instead, the Bulls organization allowed a team that had won 3 straight titles to disperse and go away. So if they can do it, and we've seen, you know, obviously looks as far as in the other leagues as well over the decades, you know, just when you think what would be the fair thing to do and the right thing to do for the entire organization as far as from the player's standpoint, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen.
No, it doesn't. You know, it is, as we all know, it's a business. And if the Titans, I do think the Titans have to make a concerted, real effort to sign Derrick Henry to a longer deal. You know, if they don't, as I say, I think that's going to create some real ill will in that locker room. But, you know, it's not the first time that this will have happened. You know, if the Titans do stick with the franchise tag with him. And honestly, you know, running backs that have been slapped with a franchise tag have had years where they've been productive as well after getting the tag. And let's be honest here too. You know, we have to remember that another year from now we might still be having this same conversation. I mean, it's not out of the question the Titans could do it again. You know, slap a franchise tag on Derrick Henry yet again going into the following season. So you're rolling the dice a little bit. I have to say, I'd like to see him, you know, work out a deal that would be a win for both sides. It's easy for me to say, but we shall have to see. I think, you know, John Robinson has made it pretty clear negotiations will be closer to training camp. So I think we've got a little bit of time to wait on that.
Jadeveon Clowney, John, who are the Titans competing with?
I think it's only Seattle. You know, we've seen reports, I think, today that, you know, Cleveland apparently made him the highest offer of any team so far. And, you know, if the report from Adam Schefter is accurate, he basically said thanks, but no thanks. And that, to me, kind of reinforces what I've thought from the start, because at one point we heard that the Jets were involved, too. And I think, again, that was one of those teams that maybe Jadeveon Clowney's agent was throwing out there trying to get some leverage. But I think really he wants to go into one of those two situations that he feels very comfortable in. Seattle, he just played there. It's a good defense. He enjoyed his year there. Or if he ends up with Tennessee, it's with his old coach Mike Vrabel, who he had a great year under. So to me, I think those are the two teams that are contending, and this kind of proves it. Assuming that report is correct, he could have gone for the money in Cleveland, but apparently said, "Nope, I'm gonna stick it out."
Before we let you go, remind everybody again what they can expect when they go to theathletic.com.
Sure, we got all kinds of good things going on over at The Athletic in Nashville. I'm covering the Titans. Joe Rexroy is writing columns. Adam Bingen on the Predators. Mitch Light's doing Vanderbilt and David Ubben on the Vols. And, of course, with The Athletic, you get all kinds of stories from across the nation, all the pro and college teams. If you want to follow me for my stories on Twitter, it is at Glennon Sports.
John, have a wonderful rest of the week. Always a pleasure having you on, and hope you have a great Wednesday night.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's John Glennon with The Athletic. Coming up, we'll wrap things up for the evening. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're still dodging some pretty good rain showers out here in certain parts. Harding Place at Metroplex, that wreck is in its clearing stages, along with that wreck at 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. Still moving on I-40 here, coming past the airport, continuing out through Mount Juliet into Wilson County. It's time to have some summer fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Acoli River. Log on to adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-478-0480.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-478-0480.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams from the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. By the way, wanted to extend a big happy birthday greetings to Tim Brinkman, owner of Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Happy birthday to Tim. And as far as Brinkman's Wine and Spirits concerned, hey, they're there for all of your needs, curbside, inside, or home side with delivery. Brinkman's still available for all your needs. Everything from whiskey to vodka, champagne to cabernets. Check them out. You can stop by. You can have them delivered to your car. You can go inside and browse, or you can even do delivery. That's right. Orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home as well. So check them out. If you haven't done so, like their Facebook page at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, Sundays by appointment. They're located inside the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin-Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside, shop local, shop Brinkman's. And when you go in, make sure you wish Tim a very happy birthday. Thanks to our visitors to the show today, Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline, and John Glennon with The Athletic here in Nashville. Don't forget, start your morning off with The Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and The John Burton Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2, and right before us from 2 to 4, The George Plaster Show. For Zach Williams in the Goggin Cool Hall Studios, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have an incredible Wednesday night. Stay dry and do us a favor and make it count.